Welcome back to a sick edition of Believe in 49ers, presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I am your host, Tommy Call the Third, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tommy_III. That is triple I for the third, and you can catch all of my written work about the 49ers via USA Today's Niners Wire. And if you're interested in more written work, now you know where to go, and there is a ton of it, because it is the start of NFL free agency, and that is why we are here. And I want to start off the podcast by just saying sorry in advance. I apologize for the congestion. I have been pretty sick for the last week or so. Can't seem to shake it as we are talking right now. Not feeling 100%, but you know, that's just the type of player I am. Want to give it all for my team. Want to give it all for my Believe in 49er listeners. Even if I'm not 100%, still going to put my hand in the dirt, mix it up with you guys here. My wife, you know, she works in a school. I have a one-year-old daughter. I don't know, maybe it's on me. Got to take my vitamins, got to drink more water. But for the sake of the podcast, I got to blame this on somebody. And, you know, so I'm going to blame them. You know, I feel like I've gotten more sick in the past year than I ever have before. But anyways, I could not stay away because, like I just mentioned, it is the start of NFL free agency here, and we just wrapped up a wild day one where the 49ers were absolutely active with multiple additions, along with some members of the 49ers finding new homes around the league. Today we're going to run down these reported signings, along with the departure of a pillar of the 49ers defense, and Eric Armstead, who was released or is going to be released as a June 1st cut, pretty much the day before free agency began, late 2 days ago as we're recording this podcast, or not even 24 hours ago as we're recording this podcast. However, before we get into all of that, I have a quick message here from our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop on your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And some may say the podcast starts here. All right, let's dive into free agency day one here on Believe in 49ers. Before we talk about some of these additions, let's talk about kind of the surprise. I would say it's a surprise. It wasn't something that I thought what happened with the departure of Eric Armstead. I remember when we kind of first started talking about the 49ers offseason, we talked about one of these players, you know, potential kind of core member of the 49ers going elsewhere with, you know, money having to go to Brandon Ayuk and how they're going to make all this work with, you know, several high-end contracts on the books already. I guess I just didn't think it would be Armstead because of the depth at the defensive line position and just how big of a culture guy I think he is. I think that's why it's a surprise to me, even though I understand it makes sense. And with some of the business they did today, you can kind of get a better picture of where the what the 49ers were thinking when they let Armstead go. He's been an absolute centerpiece of this defensive line since joining the 49ers after being drafted out of Oregon in 2015. You know, according to different reports, the 49ers approached Armstead about a restructure. However, he opted for a free agency instead. Armstead has had an incredibly productive career with the 49ers, racking up 33.5 sacks in 9 seasons. He struggled at times with injuries, no doubt, but I think Armstead's impact was dramatically underrated. I think the play he had a ripple effect on that entire defense, on guys behind him like Fred Warner, and guys playing next to him like Nick Bosa. Off the field and in the locker room, I thought Armstead was kind of a culture setter and helped usher this latest wave of 49ers culture defensively, you know, alongside Kyle Shanahan, D'Amico Ryans, and even dating back to Robert Saleh. He really shifted kind of this new age of, I think, if you think about the 49ers, no matter who they have on that team, you just say, They're a good defense. They're a good defense year in and year out. And that's a lot to do with culture and having some of the same guys stick around. Well, I think Eric Armstead was a big part of that, dating back to when, you know, DeForest Buckner left town for the Indianapolis Colts. And I was probably on the record for saying, like, wow, if there's anybody they should move on from, it's Eric Armstead instead of Buckner. Buckner's so good, blah, blah, blah. Well, Armstead's really kind of slid in there and, you know, I think played really well. I thought he was just a great piece of this 49ers defense and kind of consistency and all of those things. Obviously had a big impact in the Super Bowl. He's from Sacramento, always been very involved in the community, being, I think he was the 49ers nominee for Walter Payton Man of the Year this last year. And I think he will be very missed. As you can tell from what I'm saying right now, I'm an Armstead fan. I think this loss will hurt, and I think more importantly, it will be tough to replace, and it kind of adds a new hole to the defense specifically and the team as a whole, because they've had such consistency with guys like Eric Armstead. Obviously, they brought in Javon Holland last year, dating back to DeForest Buckner, even when guys like DJ Jones and things were here in San Francisco. All of those guys were productive, and so now that position, which was a strength, kind of looks like a bit of a weakness. However, on the first day of free agency, talking about some of the additions now, the 49ers absolutely broke out the checkbook for the defensive line specifically with two. I'll say one is a big time addition, the other one is a solid addition. Starting with the addition of Leonard Floyd. Floyd, an absolutely quality veteran who the 49ers fans, you know, should know because they got to get familiar with when he was in the NFC West with the Los Angeles Rams, won a Super Bowl with them, playing alongside Aaron Donald. He spent the last season with the Buffalo Bills. He's had a very steady and productive career, racking up 10.5 sacks last season with the Bills. Floyd notched 9 or more sacks in his last 4 seasons. And I think that kind of really speaks to this signing. We've seen the 49ers filter through kind of the second wave of free agency for edge rushers. We've seen them go after a young hype player like Chase Young, and it just really hasn't worked out for the Niners, finding a guy who can contribute consistently on the opposite end of Nick Bosa. The Chase Young experiment didn't work out. It's had its moments, but there's more excitement there than actual, you know, physical evidence. The options behind Nick Bosa have never really been proven. We didn't know what that player could be, I think, week in and week out. I think that was frustrating with Chase Young, is you didn't know who you were going to get week to week. And I think that trend has been common with guys who have played opposite to Nick Bosa. Like, we knew who they could be if they were playing at their peak. You hoped what you could project them as, but you never truly knew how it would turn out. We've seen glimpses from guys like Drake Jackson, Cleveland Farrell, obviously Chase Young, who I've mentioned. But Leonard Floyd, I think week in and week out, you at least know who he is and what he brings to the table every single week. He's consistent and he's available, playing in 108 straight games. Floyd hasn't missed a game since 2017. Consistency and reliability will give the 49ers and Nick Bosa a real boost on that defensive line. He can do a bit of everything, bring some speed, athleticism, really good length to the pass rush position. And Floyd, you know, he's not a bad run defender either. While I would say he's more of a, you know, pass rush specialist, I think he can play all four downs. Floyd is graded well in the Pro Football Focus grading as well, earning a 65 or better in the defensive line, as a defensive grade in every season of his career, except for last season with Buffalo, where he did have a 56. However, his production was there, like I mentioned, with 10.5 sacks. The last game he suited up against the 49ers was in 2022 with the Rams, and he balled out, recording 9 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss against the 49ers. It is clear that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan took note. And if he can bring just, you know, a smidge of that to the table and kind of help free up, take some attention off Nick Bosa and Javon Hargrave and whoever else they replace on the interior of that defensive line, I think that is a very, very solid and positive signing. I know a lot of people were interested in probably a bit of a splashier name with Daniil Hunter, or we'll see what shakes out with the Los Angeles Chargers pass rushers and Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, which would obviously be cool to see the brothers playing together. But, I mean, for the first day of free agency, it's not a boom or bust deal. It's not a super expensive contract. They could probably still sign another defensive lineman, whether that be Nick Bosa on a team-friendly cheap deal if he wants to come to town and play with his brother. I think this is a clear upgrade over Chase Young. I mean, without Arik Armstead, there will be more pressure on Nick Bosa and less attention on the interior defensive line. Hopefully that consistency and durability Floyd brings as a pass rusher will take some of that pressure off Bosa. I also thought there was a really cool small connection. I saw some people post about this on Twitter with Floyd specifically and the newest member of the 49ers coaching staff, Brandon Staley. When Staley was with the Bears, Floyd was on the Bears. And then when Staley was with the Rams, Floyd joined him again. So there will be some familiarity there with what he brings to the table and what the 49ers want to get out of him. Overall, I would, grade this signing, if we're going to do that, take that for what it is, as a B+, honestly. I mean, I think that's very fair. Just wrapping up our report card here quickly, as we're two major moves into free agency, the loss of Armstead, I'm going to give that a D because it's just a tough pill to swallow. And then moving on to the addition of Leonard Floyd, I'm going to give that a B+, close to an A. I'm trying to think, am I just being too pesky to give an A? However, with this defensive tackle shoring up the opposite side of Nick Bosa, it seems like that's a clear priority. Hopefully, trying to get more production out of Bosa with adding guys like this. The 49ers weren't done on day one of free agency at the defensive line position after they signed Floyd. They moved on with the addition of Yetur Gross-Matos, a former second-round pick of the Carolina Panthers in 2020. I think another solid pickup. I really loved him coming out of college in Penn State. If this was 2020, you would probably hear me talk very highly of him. I think I had a first round grade on him when he slipped into the second round. I remember being very surprised. I think he was a higher second round pick, but still, I thought this guy was actually going to be somebody very legit at the next level. And he hasn't been that, but he's been solid, I think. And for what the 49ers are paying him and what they're attempting to get out of him, I like this move as well. Not an ultra-productive pass rusher. Last year was his season high in sacks with 4.5. Very solid run defender. He can provide that steady depth on the edge. He can fill the role of a Colin Farrell, Drake Jackson. He is only 26 years old and now on a 2-year deal. Maybe he continues to develop alongside Javon Hargrave, Nick Bosa, and Leonard Floyd, and learns a thing or two and kind of reaches that potential that some of us saw at Penn State. But even if he continues at his current pace, I think it's a very solid depth piece that provides some good defense against the run right away. And maybe we see some pass rush development. Like I mentioned, playing alongside guys like Bosa, Floyd now, and Javon Hargrave. Wrapping up the Gross-Matos signing, I'm going to give that a grade as a B as well. I think it's good depth. I think it is an overall solid, addition. The 49ers, weirdly, in a matter of 24 hours, went from being very thin at the edge rusher position to now having some depth. And I think they could still be interested in that position. I'm very interested to see. Obviously, the 49ers have had some serious ties to, it seems like ties or links from different reporters around the Bay Area, talking about the Bosa, potentially the other Bosa brother coming from the Chargers to the Bay Area. I think obviously Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa shake free there, the 49ers will probably have some level of interest. I mean, why wouldn't they want to bring either of those guys in? So I think they're not going to be done at the defensive line position, the defensive edge rusher position. Outside of the defensive line, the 49ers brought back two of their own, and Juwan Jennings with a second round tender, which isn't a surprise at all, who was a restricted free agent. And then veteran quarterback Brandon Allen. I actually think the Allen re-signing is a bit interesting. I was kind of writing a piece about this before recording for Niners Wire, because I think he's more of a third quarterback, practice squad quarterback, obviously understands the system where he provides some comfort and stability, a piece of that quarterback room in Santa Clara. But, you know, with Sam Darnold heading to Minnesota, which is a deal we kind of just got reports of before recording, who will be Brock Purdy's backup? Is it going to be Brandon Allen? Did Kyle Shanahan and Brian Greasy see enough this season with Allen to kind of make him that number two? Well, there was obviously a lot of pressure on that number two quarterback position and rewind the last training camp. I think the 49ers, for a team that is going for it, is going to want a proven guy in the quarterback room with Brock Purdy. Should they look to the draft? I mean, always, I think you should always be kind of interested in the quarterback position of the draft. Look at that. That's how Brock Purdy landed in Santa Clara. But for where they're at right now, I do think a veteran makes sense. Looking at some of the guys available that are still on the board heading into day two, I think Ryan Tannehill is an interesting option. He's got some athleticism, you know, a big arm still. Obviously been banged up multiple times in his career. But he has stepped in moments, as we've seen, and kind of shined. I think he's an interesting option. For me, he'd provide comfort at that number two. It seems like he's good enough that you could still go out and win a game with. I like names like Joshua Dobbs. I think Drew Locke is also interesting. Those two might be trying to go, you know, compete for a starting position versus, you know, want to lock in as the number two because they both had little moments last year. But those are some names that interest me. And I think that position is also a priority for the 49ers, specifically in free agency, because what I was mentioning with the idea of bringing in a veteran. Along with Darnold, the 49ers lost Javon Kinlaw to the New York Jets with a reunion with Robert Saleh. Charlie Warner also departed from Santa Clara on the first day of free agency. I think, obviously, they'll look to replace both with a backup to George Kittle. We saw they have two, you know, young rookie tight ends that they drafted last year in Brandon Lewis and Cam Latu. However, neither of them has had much impact in their career. So it wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers turn their attention to the draft to tight end, with having quite a few draft picks specifically, having 10 picks in the draft coming up. It wouldn't surprise me if they fired one of those at the tight end position for a guy who could come in and at least compete with the two rookies from last year. And then right now, like I mentioned, one of the biggest holes on the roster is defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw. Rather underwhelming career in the Bay Area. Had moments. I always really liked him. Got to see him at the Senior Bowl. I remember back when he was in college and the 49ers drafted him. And then, you know, his career, he definitely showed glimpses. It won't surprise me if he is, you know, a productive player with the Jets kind of elsewhere. It kind of looked like he could potentially just need a change of scenery, because he had his moments for sure. It's a bummer that the 49ers won't necessarily see that through. You know, specifically at defensive tackle heading into free agency as I record this podcast, players like DJ Reader, Daquan Jones, T.R. Tart, Clayus Campbell, veteran, but still has some game left, Jerry Tillery, Taven Bryan, and Raekwon Davis all could be very interesting fits for the 49ers defensive line. I think Raekwon Davis will probably be a little too pricey because he is still young, has had some moments with the Dolphins. But outside of defensive tackle, I think linebacker will be a position that the 49ers should probably take some interest in, just because of we don't know the full timeline of how things are going to shake out with Greenlaw's injury. Offensive line is a position to watch on day two of free agency. But, I mean, obviously that first wave with specifically guards, man, those guys are getting absolutely paid. But that's kind of going to do it for where the 49ers currently stand on free agency as we record this podcast here. Obviously, things are going to change by the minute, essentially. So we'll be probably tapped back in here on Believe in 49ers very quickly. Just had to jump in and give a quick rundown of day one of the free agency cycle. And honestly, like, I love free agency. I'm glued to my phone when it's going on, and then kind of following that up to the draft. The NFL does such a good job of kind of making it a year round sport, and I'm lucky enough to talk to you all here on Believe in the 49ers about it. So we're going to have some fun things coming up on Believe in 49ers, but that is going to do it for us today in this edition, at least, of free agency. Hit me up on Twitter if you want to talk some more ball. I've got a draft prospect or free agent you want me to talk about, or if you want to talk some hoops, specifically the Golden State Warriors. I am the managing editor of USA Today's Warriors Wire as well, and also calling in, tapping in here on some Believe in 49er fans. I am your boy here, is going to Hawaii, staying in Kauai in just a couple days with the whole family. Family vacation, look out. Kind of first time ever doing something like this, especially with a kiddo. Do you guys have any Kauai recommendations? I've never been. I'm kind of a Hawaii newbie. I've only been there once. And I went to Maui, and it was awesome. Had a great time. But yeah, just not a big Hawaii person, so I don't really know what to get into. Me and my wife both love hitting breweries and different places like that. Already did a little bit of research, but if you have any recommendations, fire those away. Hit me up on Twitter at Tommy_III. And that is my spiel. Again, I'm so sorry. I tried to choke down the coughing and blew my nose multiple times throughout the podcast to try to get a little bit more cleared up. I know it probably doesn't sound 100%, but hopefully next time we are locked in here on Believe in 49ers, your boy will be back to 100%. Thank you to everybody out there for listening. Thank you to our sponsor, Bet Online. And most importantly, again, thank you for listening to Believe in 49ers, presented by Bet Online.